This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 30th, 2015, episode 1201.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Welcome to another Crossover Tuesday, everyone. The long-running and always popular eventing radio show is sporting some new co-hosts this month, so we thought we'd share the love a bit over here on Hit 'Em. Sit back and enjoy rock star Australian eventer Paul Tapner and Formula One racer turned international eventer Liz Halliday Sharp as they host their first eventing radio episode. It's their maiden run, so let's find out if they go double clear, shall we?
I'm Liz Halliday Sharp, joining you from East Sussex in England.
G'day, I'm Paul Tapner. Some people call me Tappers, and I'm also in, not East Sussex, where, is that where you said you're from, Liz? But I'm in Wiltshire, Swindon, in the United Kingdom, but you might tell from my accent, originally Australian. And you're listening to the Eventing Radio Show. So, Liz, apparently you and I are silhouettes at the moment. Nobody knows who we are. It's a big mystery, and we have just unraveled the mystery that Liz Halliday Sharp and Paul Tapner Tappers are the new hosts, the fortnightly hosts of the Eventing Radio Show. So, Liz, are you as excited as I am?
I'm so excited. I'm just about falling out of my chair. And, yeah, my goodness. I hope that everyone else is excited as we are, because if not, then too bad, because we're here. Sorry, everybody.
No, I'm sure everybody will enjoy the trip as much as we do. And we're looking forward to hearing everybody's suggestions and comments and banter. I shouldn't really say abuse, should I? send in your... your witty comments, your encouragement. I'm sure you can tweet us and you can Facebook us and catch us on the website, all of those wonderful things.
And do send us ideas for the show. If there's something specific that you would really like to talk about or someone you'd love for us to interview, please, please send us your thoughts and ideas, like Paul said, on Facebook or on Twitter or any other way that you manage to reach us. If you know us personally, send us a text message.
And we haven't got a training tip this week, but certainly in the future, we're hoping to bring you training tips all of the time. We're hopefully going to bring you some grooming tips and all sorts of weird and wonderful competitions and competition tips and hopefully get you guests from all around the world to do with our wonderful sport of eventing.
And of course, Paul and I, we're hoping we can bring you some interesting insights, seeing as we're both not originally from the UK, but we seem to have landed here many years ago. So hopefully we will know enough people on other sides of the various ponds as well as here in Britain.
That's right. So we are fellow foreigners and, Liz, you're obviously American but living in the UK and I'm Australian living in the UK. So Liz, how many years have you been living in the UK for?
I have been here for 15 years now, which is
crazy.
I know, but I actually spent the last 6 months in America for my first time back competing there in 15 years, which was pretty crazy.
You can't decide which country you're from. You're doing the home trips again.
I'm trying to have a bit of both if I can be greedy enough and not run out of money. Yeah.
Greed is good indeed. Yeah, we like this in the world of eventing. So and Liz, you have a busy team of event horses yourself.
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, I've got a few good ones, which is always exciting. And I'm now doing a lot of producing of the Cooley horses. Richard Shane and I have Cooley Horses International now, which is a big part of why we went to America, not only for me to compete, but to sell some very nice horses. And it's been a lot of fun to produce them, and I'm hoping we can keep doing that. And that will let me go back and forth across the pond as well. And you yourself, Paul, I know you're absolutely mental busy. You've got loads of top horses, and I don't mean to bring it up, but I know you've spent a little bit of time in the dirt lately.
thanks for bringing me right back down there. Yes, indeed. I have been doing that favorite thing that event riders do. No, that least favorite thing that event riders do across country.
Your favorite thing.
Is, getting up close and personal with some four-leaf clovers and some dirt and some mud and some manure and all those sort of things, but not of my own free will. Hitting the ground far too often this season. So, getting a bit of a rather milestone birthday coming up next month. I'm feeling my age and thinking that I'm glad I've got the strongest team of event horses I've ever had. You know, I've got a fantastic team of horses. So if I'd stop falling off them, I might actually do some good, like probably most of our guests are doing, and win some competitions. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, Tappers, we should probably get started. So after this word from Bit of Britain, we'll be joined by New Zealand's Janelle Price.
Coach Jen here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Cassie from Bit of Britain for this week's Product of the Week.
Well, Jen, today we're talking about the latest in fine bridle work from None Finer. There are two new offerings available, the Verona Bridle and the Florence Bridle. Continuing the tradition of the Bellissimo collection, these bridles are crafted from rich and supple Italian leather with attention to detail that is second to none. Both bridles have fancy stitched brow bands and nose bands in the wider style that is currently popular in the show ring. Each bridle features an inlaid padded crown for the horse's comfort, as well as a softly padded brow band and nose band. These bridles are the complete package with matching raised and fancy stitched laced hook stud reins, all in dark Havana leather. The Florence bridle features a regular buckle noseband, while the Verona bridle has a crank noseband.
Great. Thank you very much, Cassie. You can find this week's product at bitofbritain.com. You can search for Verona or Florence bridle, and they will pop right up, and they are beautiful. And you can also find a link to the Verona and Florence bridles at the eventingradio.com on this show's episode page. And don't forget to follow Bit of Britain on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and type in Bit of Britain. And for those who are spelling challenged, it's B-R-I-T-A-I-N. Thanks a bunch, Cassie. And don't forget, you need to enter Bit of Britain's Clever with Letters contest for your chance to win a $250 gift card. You can head on over to bitofbritain.com and click on the gift card contest link at the top of the page, and then they have a form that you fill out using just the letters of the alphabet of the studs that they sell at Bit of Britain to create your dream horse's name. Entries must be received by June 30th, 2015, and there's just one entry per email.
Well, I'm very happy to be joined by Janelle Price, who's just come back from an incredible second place finish in the Le Moulin CCI 4-star in Germany. Janelle, what an epic performance on your 10-year-old mare. Tell us a little bit about the competition.
It was a super competition. I think as the results suggested, it was a really hot field. It wasn't a huge field, but it was very quality. We had some top riders and some top horses. And the standard set on day one looked, well, from where I was, that I thought it looked unachievable. So I was probably as surprised as anyone when I managed to hold my own come Friday morning and post a dressage score that hit us right in the mix.
Yeah, you certainly did post a dressage score that was right in the mix there, Janelle. A 32.8. Is that a personal best for you and the horse, or both of you?
Absolutely. I actually posted a personal best the day before in the CIC 3-star of 36 point something.
Oh, you're a dressage diva, and then you just went and smashed it the next day.
it was a day for records.
Amazing. And there was 11 of you, all sub 40, and we say the sub 40 dressage mark. It's a pretty elusive dressage mark to get at international dressage scores for eventing. But 11 riders sub 40. Obviously, you were right up there in third place after dressage, so you certainly held your own. But like you say, do you think that every single one of those was deserved of those sub 40, or were the dressage judges getting a little excited? Because, you know, us not being there, looking at the scoreboard, we sort of wonder whether the dressage judges were having a few too many wines.
Yeah, I couldn't help but agree with you slightly. We certainly watched the first couple come out, and obviously Mickey posted a 34 early on, and I think he only held the lead for one or two horses before the Belgian boy came and posted a 31. I was actually out walking the course at the time, and Tim phoned to tell us. I was with Mark Todd, and we thought he was pulling our leg. We thought it was absurd that somebody had gone and beaten it so soon. But they certainly seemed to be wanting to put out the big marks. Yeah, I'm no judge, but you couldn't help but wonder whether we were perhaps, you know, 4 or 5 marks lower than we might have been, you know, on a different day somewhere else.
And just talking about your mare, I mean, I think I've remembered watching this mare for quite a while, and you used to ride her about 3 or 4 times before the dressage. She's quite a fiery little thing, isn't she? You've obviously really found a new tune with her. What's really made the biggest difference in your scores lately?
I think the work, I tend to run her now places where I have the time to put the work into her that she needs. You know, I don't, you know, take her to too many one-day events that she can just go in the ring and misbehave. She was particularly settled at Le Moulin all week. I'm not really sure why. That's sort of half the trick with her, as I understand, trying to work her out. I actually took some blood off her on the Wednesday because I was sure that she must be sick. She was being so cooperative. you know, she certainly has the quality to produce the big marks, but the relaxation has always been the problem. And this was certainly the first time that we were able to string together our whole test and show some of the qualities that she does have.
Well, clearly you just need to go and compete in Europe, so she has a really nice long drive and all that. That might get expensive in diesel, I'm sure.
Yeah, nice long drive to Germany. She obviously liked the trip out there and all the rest of it. So, yeah, always helps.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, dressage is not we're not dressage competitors. We are eventers, and it's all about the cross country. And you know, it was an awful lot of clear and under time, but still a valid 4-star test, Janelle, out there.
I think that's questionable. I would have said it was probably a 3.5-star track cross country. It certainly was 4-star dimensions. The fences were big. And you still obviously had a lot of, you know, a lot of big fences to jump. But a lot of the lines sort of tended to be more on 5, 6, or 7 strides, where obviously the margin for Eric is slightly more than if, you know, it's 2 or 3 or 4 strides. And yeah, just perhaps lacked a little bit of the technicality.
That's not dissimilar to what we saw at Badminton this year. You know, Badminton was very much backed off in terms of difficulty this year compared with last year, which all the riders loved and all of the spectators on TV loved, but the spectators at the venue weren't so impressed with not seeing so many horses around. So, you know, is that a bit of a trend? And obviously Le Moulin being in Germany, there's an awful lot of pressure on them to create good pictures from the eventing scene. So perhaps they're a little bit victim of that same sort of thing, that they're trying to, you know, create really nice, easy pictures for the cross country on the Saturday. But it's a bit of a balancing act, isn't it, between what the riders want. We want a really tough track and you know, keeping it good for the viewers on course.
Absolutely, but I don't think we're ever going to see anything too strong in Germany. I think the feeling out there is definitely for a nice picture, for a nice experience for the horses and riders. And I think, you know, we can't have every 4-star, I guess, as a burly. You know, there does have to be, or there doesn't have to be, but I think it is good that there is some variance between the 4-stars. And certainly if you've got a first-time 4-star or perhaps something that lacked a little bit of blood, then, you know, Le Moulin is always going to be a good option because it's flat and it is a little bit softer. So I guess that, you know, it has its places, but, yeah, it is certainly not comparative to a burly or...
And you found the cross-country time rather easy there this time? Because, I mean, just looking at your horse's results, 1 day, 3 days, doesn't matter what, you've not made time since 2013 on this horse. You've always had cross-country time penalties. And then you come to – oh, sorry, you did it Tattersalls. You made time there. So, what do you reckon about that? Was that a surprise to you to make time, or were you hoping or expecting, or –
Well, this mare, I mean, if you look at her record, she hasn't won anything until she pretty much got to four-star level. Mm. You know, it's taken me nearly 3 years to get a test out of her. So when you're not in a position to win, I'm not about to go and bust a gut cross-country to win. So that has been part of it. And
Of your management. So if you know, you've got to look after the horse, and obviously you know this is a true four-star horse.
I took it a little bit prematurely last year as a nine-year-old. So the emphasis was very much on giving her a good trip as opposed to worrying about the clock. Whereas here we are 6 months later, she's got that four-star under her belt. I was very much going to make time this week. The time was achievable. I've certainly had to chase the clock harder at other events. I think the good riders made it look easy for sure.
Well, I've got a question for you, Janelle, and I don't know how many people who are listening to this actually watched your round. I did watch your round, and it was fantastic. But you got pulled up two fences from home by one of the officials, and you looked very confused. I was very confused. I would love to know why and what happened there.
It was a genuine mistake by the event. The fence stewards misheard a communication that came over the radio, and I was literally galloping down to the second to last, and they sort of started waving the flag at me. And straight away I just thought, it's not possible to be stopped, you know, with two fences. I could see the blooming finish line. So I sort of jumped the second to last and tried to ignore them, but then they were really, really waving the flags at me, so I thought I'd better stop. And, they really had no idea why they were stopping me. And after a little bit of confusion, they let me go and jump the last fence. And, heads off to Le Moulin, the grand jury and the event, they were extremely apologetic. And mistakes do happen, so we accept that. And they rectified the situation and corrected the result. So no damage done.
Oh, that's good news. I was thinking, what on earth could have happened between the second to last and the last?
Well, immediately you think, gosh, did I miss a fence? Did I take out a flag? But I'd had a very smooth round, so I knew I hadn't had any questionable jumps. So I was racking my brain trying to think if I'd missed a blooming jump. And
I'm sure.
Thoughts.
Well, I'm pleased to hear it wasn't anything too crazy, because I was eagerly looking for your results thinking, why on earth have they stopped her? And I'd watched your round, so I knew you hadn't missed anything. It was well, at least hats off to them for being quite good about it. And that's what you would look forward to at a top four-star event, is that you're going to have officials that, you know, mistakes happen, but at least they can rectify it quickly for you.
And they were very quick to do that.
Oh, that's very good. No, that is great. Talk to us about the show jumping. I think the top five were all clear and inside the time. Did you feel it was as tough as some tracks you've done? I know Poe is notoriously a very, very difficult four-star show jumping track. How would you compare this?
I think the show jumping, was difficult, definitely. I was slightly, I don't know, maybe I was so shocked at Poe, how big and technical it was, that I was slightly less shocked this time. Or maybe it was a fraction under Poe, or maybe I had a little bit of confidence from having jumped Poe. But it certainly was up there, and I think we're seeing it more and more now. The show jumping is getting bigger, squarer, more demanding, longer. The time I find incredibly tight, and it's not easy to jump a clear round on the last day. And I think, you know, that stat you just mentioned with the last six jumping clear is slightly misleading in many ways, because if you sat and watched the class, it wasn't a lot of clear rounds, but then the top end of the competition came and they were just so good. And
yeah, I think that's definitely indicative of the quality of field you had there. You know, you've got some amazing horses there. You've got, you know, European, world champion, Labisca Tech Sam, and Olympic champion, and, you know, he's going to jump clear, and Campino, one of your London teammates, jumping clear, of course, you'd expect that, and Lofen Gen from USA with Clark Montgomery. They're all magnificent, you know, event horses. Mm. So really puts the pressure on in that show jumping. And so, did you feel the pressure? Was there a really high pressure atmosphere? Because obviously with the dressage being so close and the everybody coming under time cross country, all of a sudden that puts a massive emphasis on the show jumping.
Yeah, it really did. And I was really grateful to be sitting on Ferry D'Animo, because she fights to leave the fences up. You know, she is one of the most careful horses I've ridden. But in a funny way, that puts a different type of pressure on this situation, because I know that it's really my job. You know, I will probably be the one that would let her down rather than
More expectation. Yeah. You know, you expect to clear round. And if you don't get it, you're even more disappointed.
It was a matter of could I jump the clear round? But yeah, delighted. I think it was more relief to have not let her down.
And certainly there in that arena, it's a magnificent arena with all the German home crowd. They would have been really cheering for Michael Young and Ingrid Klimke, our eventual winner. So, you know, obviously sandwiched between those two would have put the pressure on you. Were there a big crowd there, and were they really going for it?
Yeah, there was. And Ingrid is absolutely the darling of German eventing. Of course, Mickey is incredibly famous. But yeah, Ingrid really is a darling over there. And the noise when I was sort of waiting out the back, just quietly waiting. Not that you want to hear that sort of
desperate
sigh, but you know, just quietly waiting out the back. But of course, it didn't come. And as soon as she landed over the last fence, the whole place erupted. So, but she's fantastic, Ingrid. You know, I admire her a huge amount. Escada is an incredible mare, and you know, to finish 0.1 behind them is very respectable.
Pretty impressive.
Truly an amazing result, actually, especially after your husband Tim Price won there last year. You must have been sort of quietly thinking, wouldn't it be super cool if we could both win back to back? But I have to say, second place in that company is something I think you can be very, very proud of. And you know, I think you just keep on getting better and better every year, and I'm excited to see what this mare is going to do next. What is, just to close up, what's your plan with her for the rest of the year? Can you give us a sneak peek?
I think she's gone on a little holiday this morning. She's very lucky. She has her own estate at Brockenhurst Park, which Tricia Rickards, who owns it, lives at. So she's gone on a wee mini vacation there. And then I think we will probably look to Poe in the autumn.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping for another good run at Poe. And then with any luck, we might have done enough to look ahead to Rio next year.
Yeah, you definitely a Rio prospect for Team New Zealand, with a fourth at Poe last year and a second here now. You know, very, very strong horse for you. So best of wishes with that, Janelle. So, really hope that goes well for you. And just tell us, you know, if the listeners here want to find out more about yourself, you have a website or Twitter or Facebook account, you know, sell yourself to us now on social media.
I'm not the biggest social media blogger out there, but we do have a very good website, which is timandjanelle.com. We've got a great lady, Jackie Green, that by all accounts is very entertaining in her updates, and we keep that regularly up to speed with news and what's happening. So that's their best.
Fantastic. So we can be entertained by timandjanelle.com. I can see bigger and better things coming from that.
Download the Horse Hub app for your iPhone and iPad free from iTunes and play audio and video where you like, when you like. You can even stream it to your TV. There's training too. Olympic dressage rider and trainer Carl Hester, six-time Olympian Mary King, Canadian team coach Clayton Fredericks, listen to US Olympian Jimmy Wofford, show jumping help from Tim Stockdale, dressage help from Richard Davison, and many more. With hundreds of downloads available, many are free or less than the price of a cup of coffee. Download the Horse Hub app now from iTunes and keep your equestrian iTunes with you wherever you go. Just search for Horse Hub in iTunes.
So next up on the Eventing Radio Show, we're joined by Marilyn Little, who is an American eventing team debutante. So we've got Marilyn Little on the phone all the way from America. Marilyn, welcome to the Eventing Radio Show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And you've been doing some exciting things lately. You've been, having fun at Bromont, as well as I think you've just recently gone to a Pan American Games trial. So tell us about some of that.
Well, I'm really, really fortunate to have a great group of horses. And so right now they've all been kind of wrapping up their seasons in the CCIs. With the exception of Scandalous, who's heading to the Pan Am Games, which I'm thrilled to be doing. Bromont was 2 weeks ago, and it was a beautiful event, as always. It's challenging cross-country, and it was a very special event for me because my owners were able to be there. And it was a reroute from Rolex for me. I didn't have the best Rolex with Demeter. I pulled two front shoes at the third fence, and then had to retire early, so we picked up a knitting and headed to Bromont, and she was fantastic up there. Really ate up the cross country, and it was pretty hard this year, I have to say. A lot of terrain. So she ended up winning the 3-star. And well, then
there's not much better substitute for having a bad Rolex then. You know, you
really
all these things happen for a reason,
best.
Don't they?
It is. It's the best way to make things better. reroute and finish off the season the way you'd like. And then I had a younger horse that also won the 2-star, and he's newer to the barn. He's been in the stables since December of last year, so I'm really excited to have that result when he was stepping up at the 2-star level.
So tell me, I've never been to Bromont before. How many classes do they actually run at Bromont that you went there?
It's a little bit different every year, but this year they had a CCI 1-star, CCI and CI.
You didn't manage to win that one as well, then?
I didn't. I only.
It's okay. This horse won a 1-star not that long ago, so she'd already ticked that box.
He did. That horse won the 1-star in Ocala in April. So he moved on. He's on to other things.
You're way behind, Paul. Come on, keep up.
Catch up. Go to the whip.
There's only so many wins I can cope with from somebody else, you know, come on. But you had a horse in the 1-star as well then. Am I guessing this right or no?
No, I didn't. I only took Demeter and Overdressed. I did take a third horse for his first CCI 3-star. He's only 7, so I took a bit of time on cross country and he ended up in 7th. So it was a good weekend for him as well.
Now, Marilyn, you have had an insane season. I was lucky enough to be over in America for about 6 months, so we've been at a lot of competitions together. Let's talk about Scandalous for starters, because this mare, you've sort of brought her on. She came over with maybe a little bit of a checkered past, I think, before you had her. But I try to say it the right way, but my goodness, what a season she's had this year. I think she's won every 2-star in the country so far, and including Ocala CCI, which was your Pan Am Games qualification, and she's also helped you to your first team selection.
She has. She's a very special horse and a very a bit of an unusual route to this season. She is 10 years old, but I brought her over from Germany last summer and spent a little bit of time getting to know her. She had a checkered past. That's a good way of saying it. She had some experience in the 1-stars, but had never completed one. And I think she had attempted 3 or 4. So I was looking at her for some other clients, and they weren't comfortable with the record, but I had such a good feeling on the mare. I asked the owners of Smoke on the Water if they would be interested in trying it with her, and they were so kind to step up, and it's been really rewarding for them. And I'm thrilled to say that it's finally come full circle. She's confident and happy, and I really, really rely on her, even though she was the horse that we were all wondering, is she going to be the reliable one? And then when she did step into it, she was guns blazing. She never looked back.
And now you
typical
just
mare.
Yeah, exactly. But she's a very smart mare, isn't she? I know you've said that a lot. Yes. And she's just taken on the Great Meadows Pan Am Games prep trial, which was by all accounts a CIC 3-star. That would have been her first one, am I right?
Well, she also had the opportunity to do the the Wellington Showcase, which was designed by Mark Phillips as a 3-star track, and there certainly were enough jump fences out there that were pretty substantial. You didn't have the length, obviously, and you didn't have any terrain, but I knew that she was going to handle that pretty well, especially coming off of Ocala. She handled that pretty well. I have to say, though, this week, the heat added a huge element at Great Meadow. It was a strong enough track in terms of the size, and there were some pretty technical combinations that caused enough problems for some solid 3-star horses that I feel really great about her coming away from that. It wasn't like it was a walk at the park for everybody and her as well. She really stepped up and handled it so beautifully. And there's plenty of terrain out there. And with the weather, the footing was great, but it wasn't perfect, but when is it ever perfect? So it felt like an authentic 3-star weekend for her, and I feel very good going into the rest of the year after the Pan Am, speaking of her as an advanced horse.
Well, that's pretty exciting, definitely. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Green Meadows and the site and the venue and the competition they put on there. You know, it looks like they're going to put on an exciting Pan Am Games for yourself.
Anytime you're going to a championship type course, I think it's plenty exciting because there's just so much, there is so much pressure and there is so much responsibility. But I'm really, really looking forward to Toronto. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And this weekend was a wonderful prep for it. It's a top flight venue and it's an incredible piece of ground and incredible people behind the event that really made the effort to create a huge amount of atmosphere for the dressage, which was a great prep. The show jumping course was designed by Richard Jeffries. It was very strong. And then we had the cross country. We all know what Great Meadow has to offer for that. So I think it's a great prep event, and everybody seems really, really excited, looking forward to Toronto.
So what's the plan now? I mean, we're obviously only a few weeks away from the games. What is your plan now between this moment and the actual games? Will you be training a lot with the team?
There is a training camp that is the week prior to the Pan Ams, and I think it's going to be great for the horses. It'll be held in Virginia, so not so far away from me. But nevertheless, you really do have to remove yourself from the daily grind and make sure that you are there not just physically, but completely focused on the training camp, because it's an important time for the team members to get together. It's an important time for the coach to really see where your horse is in the days leading up. Of course, we've already had so many training camps and a lot of time together, so there's no new news for anybody. But in terms of team bonding and just getting yourself mentally in that right place and ready to go, I think those are important days between the 8th and the 13th before we ship up.
And do you have any random team bonding exercises? Being in a few teams myself, we do some really random things sometimes for this team bonding and, you know, get everybody on side. So tell us, give us some insight into the American team bonding activities.
Well, Boyd is on the team, so that's a bonding activity in and of itself.
Boyd is a unique character, yeah. Well and truly,
that.
You stole him from us, from Australia. So I know some
very,
of his antics. I probably trained him in some of his antics, having gone through Pony Club with him
have.
And his older sister. So, yeah, do tell
it's
some of the other
moment to
secrets.
Moment. Another show.
It's moment to moment. I mean, you know, whereas last year for the World Games, there was six or seven of us that headed over to France prior. So that was a much, much larger group. And right now there's just the four of us, with Philip, Boyd, Lauren, and myself. Philip and Boyd obviously know each other really well. I've had the opportunity to be on teams with Philip and Boyd at other U.S. team high performance events, like whether it be Lemulin or Poe, Samir. So I know them quite well. And Lauren is, she's long been with David and Karen and Mrs. Mars. So I'm a newcomer to that program as of the last few years, but we're certainly not strangers. So it's a team that is already reasonably well bonded. And I think that we're all really happy to have each other as teammates. I feel incredibly honored to have Boyd and Philip and their experience on the team. And obviously, they've been friends for a while. And I think that Lauren is just a an incredible competitor and a great athlete, and obviously
you're being way too American for my liking. You just can't like everybody like that. Surely one of them has got to annoy you. But anyway, I shouldn't dig like that. You mentioned some numbers about there's four of you. And does that mean, you know, just explain it. Does that mean that all four of you are guaranteed a run, or is there any competition between you? Is there reserves or anything like that? Or are you all guaranteed to go to the championships?
There's going to be one named traveling alternate. So that person, we don't know who that person is yet. We've just done the vet exams yesterday, so right following the cross country. So I think that the vets and the selectors will come up with the alternate that they think should travel with, and just in case anything happens. But this year, they really made an effort to change the format, and we did name our team early. And I'm new, so I can't tell you how it was before, but it certainly is nice to not be competing with everybody neck and neck up until this point right now. And we've been allowed some time to kind of cool down, you know, get into the idea that these are your teammates, get together with them. And that's what this time has been all about. So I think team is very much named, and yet we do have a traveling alternate that has not been named yet. And we'll know about that pretty soon, I would think.
Fair enough.
Well, it's really, really exciting for you. And we're absolutely thrilled to see what the American team can do. Obviously, it's a lot of pressure because without the Olympic qualification, the U.S. team has to win. But I, for one, think that the right horses have been chosen, and we're excited to see what you guys can do.
Thanks. It's an interesting group of horses, and I don't know yet. Has Philip actually named which horse he's going to use?
Not to my knowledge, but
he had a bit of a mishap with Cubalon this weekend, but I don't think that was the horse's fault. And I think that the choice is still up to him. So we really don't know which horse he's going to be on. But both the boys' horse is a four-star horse. Lawrence is a three-star. Mine's only done two-star technically so far. So it's a bit of a mixed group of horses and a mixed group of riders in terms of experience level. So it should be interesting. Certainly got a variety.
Indeed,
oh, we
yes.
Can't wait to see the results.
Indeed, yeah. So you've been winning an awful lot so far this season. We certainly hope you keep winning in your championships and in your team debut. It's just fantastic for you. So tell all the listeners where they can keep up with your progress. Presumably you've got a website and Twitter and Facebook and all those wonderful things. Tell us where we can find you.
We do. RaylanFarms.com is the website for the farm, and you can look up all of the horses that are on the team and all the sponsors and the staff that's behind the effort. And on Facebook, Marilyn Little, and Twitter as well. And that we keep everything updated with the results and where to be able to watch things on live streaming, and the news is out when the horses are shipping around, and what we're doing in the weeks to prepare.
Sounds great.
Well, thank you so much, Marilyn. And obviously, I'll be cheering for Team USA for very obvious reasons. So
thank you.
I hope it goes great at the Pan Ams. Lots of luck.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thanks for coming on the show, Marilyn. Next up, we're joined by British eventing rider Sam Jennings. So now we're off to the UK, and we've got Sam Jennings on the line. Sam, welcome to the Horse Radio Network and the Eventing Radio Show.
Thank you so much. Lovely to see you.
And Sam, we've got you on the phone because you've had a massive weekend over the weekend in the UK at an event called Nunny, and their top event, their top class rather, is the two-star international, which was the most exciting event going on this weekend in the UK, and you managed to win it. So tell us all about that. Pretty happy about that?
Oh, thrilled to bits. Absolutely really pleased with the horse. So thrilled for the owner, Jill Johnson. I've been riding her for a long time. It just all came together this weekend. So great event. Very, very pleased.
And so the horse Coldplay, and he's been advanced. So this was a bit of a step down for him, or was it a planned mission to go and win the two star at Nunny?
I had a big fall last year at Chatsworth, and it's taken a while to get back on form. I obviously went around Blenheim. The CIC three-star 9-year-old last year, but very greenly. I think it's just taken us a while to sort of get back together. So the program was we would go up a level, to come back a level, then to go up a level again. to just keep on with the education of the horse and make sure all the progress was, you know, doing as it should be.
Well, the wind certainly looks like it is going as it should be. And does that mean, you know, based on what you said there, going up and down the levels, trying to get the horse's confidence and your own as well, does that mean we're going to see you back up at 3-star now?
Yes, entered for Barbary 3-star. So a nanny fitted into the program to get ready for Barbary.
And then been talking about we've had Janelle Price and talking about Lemoulin and all of these sub 40 dressage scores that we saw at Lemoulin, and you know, not to be outdone, you've done one yourself, led the class from start to finish on a 35.8. So was that an expected score or a personal best for yourself or the horse?
If I'm going to be completely honest, I came out of the dressage test and I wasn't completely happy.
You would have liked sub 30. Sub 40 is not good enough.
No, it was more. No, it's because Cole, everything in his practice is really good. Like, he holds square, but he goes into tests and he forgets things. He goes into a show jumping arena, and he forgets things. And he's always been this since very early on. So I came out of the dressage arena and all I wanted to know was, were the halt square? That's all we've been working on. That's all I wanted to know. And he was a little bit distracted. It was a bit windy. A gazebo fell down, which actually I didn't even notice. And the judge actually said, well done. The gazebo was like flying across the field. And luckily the person that let me into the arena was like trying to sort of like simmer it down, and doing some gazebo wrestling
in the middle of your test, were they? But you were so focused, you didn't notice.
I was so focused, and but he got nines for some work, and we've been working so hard on being more positive in the test and not closing down and actually trying to gain the marks. And I've always been the person that puts my head down and been like, I'm just here, as opposed to being like, do you know what? I'm going to gain the marks.
Well, clearly it suits you to be in a howling gale with a gazebo falling down. Maybe you should have a few more distractions in the future.
Yeah, well, it was a miracle. I actually went around the reason where I actually said good afternoon to the judge or to the I was smiling. But my words were, as I came out, was like, well, it's all square. And so he got I was thrilled with him. He was relaxed. He was really good. He show jumped amazingly. I had a nightmare to get to the cross country. I jumped one practice fence and he was napping. He's never done this before in his life. Really new thing. I actually had to get off him, and as they were counting me down in hand, go to the start box, and my groom had to give me a leg up sort of on the move as they were literally counting down. So I was quite pleased to actually leave the start box.
And what does that do? Tell us, like, obviously that's not really the sort of high stress experience that you want right before you go out of the start box. What does that do for you as a person, you know, knowing that? Were you able to just sort of pull yourself together and say, whatever, it's past me now? Or were you concerned about how it was going to go for you? Or did you just get on with it?
I'm not going to lie. I was worried that I wasn't even going to get into the start box. More the fact that other competitors were sort of warming up over the cross-country fences and I was stuck behind one of them with the horse not going anywhere and people wanted to jump the fences and I was just like, I'm really trying
Everybody was just aiming at you, were they? Yeah, really helpful.
Yeah, everybody was like, get out of the way, I want to jump a fence. And I was like, you know what, I just want to get to the Starbucks. My guys working for me at the moment hasn't worked for me for very long. It's probably only about 2 or 3 months, and he's come over from France and his English is good. It's getting better, but it's not brilliant. So trying to explain, like, can you just give me a lift up now? And my French is absolutely, like, useless. And I would swear there, but I'm not going to.
A true international event then. We call it an international two-star. You certainly had an international flavour to it then, by the sounds of that.
To be honest, it was like the same
communication errors that we were having in Le Moulin on the same weekend, you were having at Nunny International Two Star as what they were having in Germany. So it's a very, very international sport.
I don't know how you explain it in French, like, can you just get me on board now? Not 1, 2, 3, so like,
just throw me on the like, horse.
Me on horse now.
So, yeah. I don't know, was it avec, avec, is with?
When I'm speaking French, it's just always allez, 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 allez. That's all they ever seem to scream when I'm at events in France.
It's got better. He's an absolute legend. But I think the organisers were a little bit trifled, especially when I was just, get me on board. It was not ladylike at all.
It got the job done and you got out of the start box and you obviously had a good round. The cross country was very influential, so only one person clear inside the time, everybody else had time penalties. Now you did have some time penalties. Do you think you could have made time, you know, because those time penalties could have cost you the win there, you know? It was very, very close on the cross country.
Yeah, I did think that, but when I walked the course on Saturday, it was very firm and we weren't going to run him. He had a bruised heel from Rockingham a couple of weeks ago, before Nunny, which is why I didn't run him at Houghton, and we're setting him up for Barbary. So it was a little bit whether we should run him or we shouldn't run him. When I walked the course on Sunday, I have to say Nunny did a great job to ground. They definitely walked brilliant.
Yeah, they'd spent all night aerovating it. You know, fair play to all the volunteers and tractor drivers. We're very indebted to their devotion to our sport. And aerovate the whole track, didn't they? So it was really good for the horses.
What the difference they did with the ground between Saturday night and Sunday was unbelievable. But I still wasn't going to run him very quick going downhill. I had that in the back of my mind. So basically, we tried to use it to set him up for Barbary. He definitely needed the run, obviously from the antics on the start. And he was obviously buzzing. And today I put him out in the field. No word of a lie. He was passaging. I'm naked.
He's ready to rock and roll then.
I'm very tired.
Barbary, bring it on by the sounds of it.
And he was like passaging around the field going, yeah, ding, 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 ready, what's coming up next?
Do you think he knows he won then by the sounds of that? He's pretty happy with himself.
He's a carrot. He loves it.
You gave him a few extra carrots and a few extra pats then by the sounds of that.
He's a happy pony. He's very happy pony.
Well, let's just quickly, before we have to go, just give us a quick idea. Assuming all goes well at Barbary, now that you've mastered the moving leg up, what's your ultimate plan this year? Are you hoping for Blenheim or maybe Buccalo, but certainly a CCI three-star? Is that the goal?
Yeah, I think we're aiming for Buccalo.
Excellent. Good choice. I
remember speaking to you at Fell, and Blenheim was a tough track, and we did that last year. But I think I've never been to Buccalo, so I think, yeah.
Got to go to Buccalo. Buccalo is everybody's favourite end-of-term party event.
Absolutely. I think you've made a good choice there. And I think Tappers has summed that up nicely. Now, we very much hope to see you there. And just before we leave you, give us a quick idea of how people can reach you. What's your social media, Facebook, Twitter? Give us the lowdown.
Tonight, it's the first time I've joined Twitter.
Twitter virgin.
Wow, quick, everybody.
Let's see how many followers we can get her in a short space of time this week.
Amazing.
Radio show. Let's follow Sam. So give us your Twitter handle, Sam.
I should know this. No, somebody else did it for me tonight. I'm useless. I told you I'm useless. the horse. I am really completely useless.
All right, we can search for Sam Jennings on Twitter and we might find you, but presumably you have a website or something of the kind.
Yeah, it's www.samjennings.co.uk.
Well, thank you very much for stopping by. We will be here every 2 weeks. And the other 2 weeks, you can listen to Joe Meyer and Max Cochran. So don't forget to stop into their show as well. You can reach me on Twitter for at Liz Halliday. And also on Facebook is also Liz Halliday, to keep it pretty simple. My website is lizhalliday.com or chailey-stud.co.uk.
Indeed. And of course, don't forget to check out the pro website. We are brought to you by theprofessionalriders.org. And we have our own website, eventingradio.com. We're on the Horse Radio Network app. You can search for the Horse Radio Network or on iOS, Android. So let us know. Tweet us on our new Twitter account. We are Eventing Radio Show is now on Twitter. So give us a tweet and a follow and let us know where you're listening from. And I'm Tappers, and I'll be here fortnightly with Liz. And you can check me out on Twitter at Tapner Eventing or my website, tapnereventing.com. And, of course, Facebook, Tapner Eventing Team. So remember, when you're out on cross country with your horses having fun, go hard or go home.